Octavio. Do you want it? You're dying for it. What is this behavior?
Welcome back to another episode of What Is This Behavior? My name is Aaron Christian. Your normal podcast host is Almas Badet and my brother Ruben Christian. But unfortunately, Almas couldn't be here with us. So you got the pleasure of just having a brotherly conversation between myself and Ruben. If you're new to the podcast, thank you for joining us. Thank you for subscribing and supporting. We are a podcast of free South Asian creatives that speak to other South Asian creatives around the world who are going against the grain in order to break down limiting tired old stereotypes. That is what we do here. And today we're getting stuck into side projects and side hustles, in particular the Asian man. So this is actually part two of an episode which we actually visited way back in episode three. The Asian man is one of my side projects which I built up, I think, around 8 years ago. It's a perfect kind of episode to kind of revisit and discuss what it means to kind of start and create a side project and the choices of what you have to kind of think about in terms of evolving it or quitting it or even developing it and trying to potentially pivot it to a business. So we kind of talk about all of those things and some of the decisions that I've made on that. And then we just kind of evolve it into the theme of what a side project or a side hustle is.
What is this behavior?
Okay, we are back in the building, myself and Aaron. Almas is currently away in Nepal with Dialed In, doing everything, basically. So she can't be here today. So we thought, while she's gone, we'll have another chat between ourselves. And what could we chat about? And we realized that we'd done a recording, episode three, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, what
when we first started
that,
it was the 3rd of July 2020 was the first time you and I had done our own episode together without Mass, and we were talking about the Asian man, the project, and at that time I had seen it floating around online. I'd seen an Instagram page, but I wasn't quite sure on what it was, and you were kind of breaking it down to me and the listeners. And now it's what, 2 years on, so we're just having a catch up on the progression of that project, because I remember you saying to me you're not too sure where it's going to land. It's a side project that you're doing in the background.
What, back on that third episode you're talking about?
Yeah, on that episode. Yeah,
yeah. So I would say, I don't know if it is worth top lining it, but to give a little bit more context on that episode, I think that episode is the first just me and you one, right? We were still figuring out what the pod was, and consistency was probably the main thing that we wanted to have. And we'd already hit episode three and not even had consistency with Alma. So we kind of just thought of a subject. And that was actually a kind of good episode. It was just more what Ruben just said, kind of him querying me on what my side project was. It was relevant to the pod because it was still a very South Asian focused project. So if any of you new listeners, welcome, first of all. And if you don't know what The Asian Man is, I'm going to top line it super quickly after this, but I would suggest going back to that episode, because that episode kind of takes you on the journey of one, why I started the project, what it was about, the drivers, and then all the kind of like historical backstory and the interesting juicy bits of kind of my journey of like traveling a lot and landing on this kind of project. So that's a quick one, right, Rubes? I think that was like a 40 minute episode.
Yeah, to some people that's not quick, but 40 minutes.
So do that. But if anyone wants a quick top liner, the Asian man is basically an Instagram account, I would say, that focuses on celebrating stylish South Asian men. So currently in its form, it's a page where I kind of curate, so find other photographers or images, photography of stylish men, and kind of just curate them into kind of like a nice mood board of images, with the goal of basically celebrating South Asian men that have personal style. So that's kind of what it is, and that's what it continues to be. But I thought today's episode could be fun just because a number of things. Like, one, it could be a good kind of retrospective on where the page or the project now, I guess, has developed within 2 years, and then the wider topic of maybe
what it means to, one, keep a side project consistent, and is that even relevant? And then kind of just get a little bit more of an update on how I've kind of developed a project and some of the kind of pain points and things that I've learned that hopefully could kind of, yeah, benefit. It kind of weirdly goes into a little bit of that passion project episode, which is another one to go and go back in deep.
Yeah, and just to clarify as well, when we say men, do we mean anyone that identifies as a man?
Correct, but that's the thing, right? I think even in that episode, it was like, I did talk about, once I kind of created that, that was a proper tension point on, oh shit, what does it mean to be a man? And how are people identifying today? And even like reaching out to people, the etiquette of like asking permission first before posting them up on is this something they're comfortable identifying with and stuff. So it's an ever evolved, like, I think that, yeah, that kind of how that's framed as well has been evolving. But that's kind of what we're going to talk about today, I think.
Okay, nice. Currently on recording this, which is Tuesday the 27th of September 2022 AD, if you believe in the AD thing, I just like to throw that in there sometimes. You currently have 563 posts, which I assume is nearly 563 individual men, actually.
Incorrect. Go on. Because there's definitely, offenders isn't the right word, but repeat.
Repeat flexes. They're flexing a couple of times on that. Yeah. Repeat flexes. How many repeat flexes have you got?
I don't know.
And how many times is the person that flexes the most, how many times have they appeared?
that comes down to like whether I think, you know what it is? For me, it's actually, it still does remain like mainly an artistic mood board rather than, it's more around like finding an image that I think fits within the grid. Rather than like wanting,
do you know
to
what?
Feature so
well. I'm on it now, and I'm going through a stage in my life where I want to kind of reinvent again and just change things up. And for me, that's also my style, right? So I've been looking at my wardrobe recently, and I'm talking to the garments. I'm saying, you got to go, man. You know, so I want to do a big weed, and I'm on this now, and I'm so inspired by layering and color palettes. So for anyone that might be also looking for some inspiration on their wardrobe, regardless of gender as well, like how some of these guys mix materials, layer up, and color block is so dope. Sorry, I just got to throw that in there just because that's the current space I'm in at the moment.
Yeah, I think that's the one that we're going to be working on now, like a layering reel, I think.
Oh, that's so sick, man. Coming up, man. All right, so we're saying it's not necessarily 560 individuals, but it's kind of near that amount because some people might be featured a couple of times. And you've got 4,582 followers. And we've had a couple talks about followers and numbers, and I know Tim Ferriss frames this as vanity metrics, but
I really like that
framing. Tim Ferriss is, for anyone that knows him, he's an award-winning podcaster and author, and he's all about life hacks, right? He's a very rational thinker, super prefrontal, and very business-minded as well. And what he doesn't really like Instagram, and he likes to talk about doing proper work that matters as opposed to just getting these followers to feel good. And he calls this vanity metrics. It's a measure of how vain we are when we're looking at how many followers we've got. I mean, obviously there's a wider conversation about how valuable that is in the industry at the moment, whether you like that or not. But I always liked the framing of vanity metrics because I think I'm quite aligned to him. Maybe it's just us old men, man. That's what it is. But the question is, like, how do you feel about having 4,582 followers on a project that's been going for a couple of years? Is that a good number, or are you like, I wish it was more?
I genuinely still struggle with it. And I think I'm struggling to find words. I think because it kind of goes into what I want to achieve with the project. There's a tension, I guess, because I think even on this project, there's one side of me where it's like, okay, it's my
I don't know what, my fourth side project.
Right.
But fourth side project in terms of like something that I'm still maintaining and keeping consistent. So I obviously have like my directing work, TV projects, the pod. I'd even say the 101 is kind of a whole project in itself. And then there's this. So there's like, it keeps me like, I don't know, like I don't stress out about it too much in that I know it's not my main thing. And that, I don't know if that's a reflection of my character, right? Or that's also something that I'm shielding myself with. Like, oh, it's only my fourth thing, so it doesn't really matter. It's not going to affect how I judge myself in terms of whether it's, you know, vanity metrics that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. But then I think on the flip side, as I'll kind of get to it, I'm kind of potentially like pivoting what I think the project can do and some of the impact. The realist in me also understands that with numbers comes reach. And because I genuinely feel really honest about the why and the position and the mission of this, which is to generally try to make progressive change in the industry and for people, and how powerful it can be for, like, you know, just a positive reflection of yourself. I do believe, as like, I really do think it could have amazing impact if it reached more people.
Yeah.
And that's there's a frustrating element, but I know I don't necessarily have that much control on it.
Yeah, so I really do understand
in relation to time and effort put in, I think, because I haven't made a penny off this, and I've kept it up for what, 8 or 9 years.
Yeah, but you know what? It's those kind of like heart led projects that are focused on over time that tend to reap harvest a lot later on in ways like really unexpected ways. So I almost personally feel that without the urgency of it trying to do well in the traditional sense now, there's more power in this project anyway. But then I'm just, at the space that I'm in now, man, I'm just like, slow everything down, do it all slower and do it all longer. Yeah, really.
It's funny though, because there was...
There's also sex jokes in there, but it's 9:30 in the morning. So go on.
No, there was a comment that came from someone in the community, and like that kind of like... I don't know if it healed an element of, or kind of allowed me to frame it in a way that it's like that slow kind of thing is not necessarily a bad thing. But I think there was, what was it, like 3-4 months ago. So I have another person helping me out on the page now. Shout out to Ruben. Not you, another, Tamil but
also,
Ruben.
But also shout out to me, obviously, at any given opportunity. Big up other Tamil Ruben. Have I met this other me?
Yeah, man, he's the actor. He's going to kill you there.
Oh, scene. Oh, shit. Sorry, Rubes, my bad.
So we have like, you know, we have like conversations on WhatsApp, and we have a little group, and we kind of like communicate on how we develop the page each week, each month. And about 3 months ago, we had like a surge. It wasn't a surge, but we had at least like, I don't know, 500 new followers in the space of like 24 hours. So it's like,
wow,
shit, obviously...
Something's banged somewhere,
been picked up, yeah. And it was so difficult to find because it wasn't really people that were, what I'd say maybe traditionally in the creative or fashion industries. So they felt like normal people is the wrong word, but not of the industry maybe would be the way to frame them.
And maybe that's the audience, really.
And yeah, but this is the thing, Rubes. Yeah, like I don't know how I managed to. I think maybe I Googled it or whatever, and it, oh no, that's what it was. I started DMing the new people that followed us. Like, how did you land on this? Like, just to see if there was like,
DMing, did you just say?
Like basically DM the new followers, right? To see, try to figure out where the breadcrumbs like led to. And yeah, they were like, oh, we found it on this Reddit thread. So do you know what Reddit is? I think you do.
Just about.
And then the thread was basically around like South Asian men and things like that. And this guy had written this like massive kind of post thread, and was like, this is one of the sickest pages. I think it's like, it's so underloved in terms of its following or like, impact and stuff, but it's done so much. And then he started going through this whole thread, and everyone was like, fuck, this has helped me reframe internalized racism and all of this type of stuff. And it was just like, it basically a massive positive, I guess, poster for what the project was. But it was loads of people just going in. So it was the first time of me kind of getting like eyes and like people talking behind your back, but in a good way.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
So I think that actually did, just hearing someone else say something like, I think this page or this project is doing really, really important work, and maybe that I think it should have more impact, was enough to be like, okay, cool. I think we're still on the right track.
Yeah, this is interesting, man. This is a conversation around like industry landscape, and then just also how we frame value with what we're doing. Just to sidestep from that conversation a little bit, just to actually look at the project and how it's been evolving, right?
Yeah.
If anyone is listening to this in transit and you've got Wi-Fi or whatnot, literally jump on Instagram and check out The Asian Man. It's The Asian Man, spelt normally, _. So while you're listening to us, you can literally scroll through. Shit, boy, we're a layered podcast now. We're giving you things to follow through while you're listening. but on there, on the highlights on Instagram, you've got book, guides and reels.
Yeah.
Tell me about the book. What's this about?
So the book was, I think, when did you say our last episode was? 2 years ago, right?
2020, July.
I don't know if we had started or attempted to start that book project, but essentially the book was me wanting to explore shooting. It basically started off with like, you know what, I'd love to see a coffee table print book that kind of embodies what this project is in the real world. So, you know, like back in the day, I used to follow the Sartorialist and all those kind of like street style photographers. And they'd always like, you know, off the back of their work, they'd create like a really kind of like beautiful, published by Taschen or something like that, coffee table book. And it was just like a nice physical object. Sometimes people use that as, like a homeware piece or whatever, a coffee table book, right? And I was like, there's nothing like that that exists out in the world. So my typical kind of mentality was like, shit, well, I've got this page. Wouldn't it be dope to kind of see what the project could look like if it evolved into something else? So I think originally I kind of figured out that we could focus on maybe 5 or 6 big cities, hubs, like that had like that kind of housed like big diasporas. So I think we had London, Toronto, Amsterdam, New York, Mumbai, and a few others, right? And then the next logical step was, okay, find a South Asian photographer that is local to that area, and then kind of like pick out a set number of guys in each city, and then hopefully kind of get in contact with some photographers to kind of shoot these guys. But long story short, it became a little bit difficult. One, because of the pandemic still. And then two, I think a lot of the photographers started to ask me questions like, you know, have you got like, how much are you going to make from the book? Do you have like royalty and rights stuff set up? And these were like totally valid, necessary questions from freelance creatives, like 100%. But because I generally hadn't started a project like this or ever really ventured down into publishing, I didn't have answers for them. So I was like, shit, maybe it's best for me to kind of take the project on myself, so I don't have to kind of get into those like royalty or rights issues, because I've got most creative control, right? But there's a lot of imposter syndrome, because I still don't consider myself a photographer.
So you're still taking these shots yourself?
Yeah, Ruth, what do you think all of these shoots have been?
No, but when you say you're on a shoot, in my head, as a director, you're directing a shoot. So I wouldn't have been surprised if you've got like talented photographers that have come down and you're literally directing, so like I'm producing what the shoot looks like.
Okay. No, I'm just using that same 5D, Bell. Working that camera. For context, me and Ruben bought that 5D, I don't know, or 7D, when? What, like maybe 15 years ago? We got it
didn't our parents give us money?
We'll pay it off. Like, we'll both pay £100 above each off.
Just to create this content. So you're using that 5D at the moment?
Yeah. Same 5D, just to take all the stills. But,
okay.
Yeah, so where was I? So yeah, so I kind of decided to take the project on myself, and yeah, the imposter syndrome was like, I don't really think I'm a photographer. I think, you know, claiming yourself to be a photographer, I think I would frame it, and this is just my opinion, that you'd have to do a number of shoots, and there's a load of things. So in my framing, I'm like, nope. But I think, I can't remember who told me, but Justin was like, I have a friend who's an amazing art director, Justin Akamoa. And he was like, Aaron, you dickhead. Just like, he goes, first of all, you've got all the relationships and genuine connections with the talent or the people. So that's going to have hold so much weight in terms of the type of image you want to create, because there's a chemistry or there's a relationship there. And then he's like, you can take a fucking photo anyway, so I don't know what you're talking about. So yeah, he gave me the confidence to like, fuck it, go off and start. And I will admit, I think the first few shoots weren't as great as I'd liked them to be. And some of the people are probably going to be listening, so I may have to reshoot some of your shots. I won't say who it is. But yeah, I think we've done like 10 shoots now. And like, yeah, I've definitely found my kind of like my rhythm and my style. So yeah, so like the shoot, the book project is in kind of full flow. So I think we're looking to wrap it early next year. And essentially it will be a book with, I think we've got about 25 guys in there, shooting them, that all have like amazing personal style, but very different, you know, personal styles. I was really conscious about trying to find, men that had different career paths, different age kind of groups, sexualities, like just really giving a broad stroke on what it means to be a South Asian man, really. Yeah. With the goal of kind of, again, similar to the pod, right? Like breaking and reframing stereotypes, and to kind of like project what, one, definitely for our community, and again, for the outside community, to be like, there's so many different versions of what we can be, but within the space of still style and fashion, because I think that's important to what this project stands for.
Well, that's interesting, man. I think that's really resonating with me. And I mentioned this to producer Surya. Shit, we're actually saying producer Surya now. It sounds like a radio show when they got
sounds like a proper pod. No,
producer Surya, who's in the background, muted, probably doing 600 other things to help our lives move forward.
Oh, she's typing. Because
I remember having a conversation with Surya after the last episode, and we both agreed that the conversation around masculinity should be brought to the fore a little bit more regularly. And that's globally, right?
Yeah.
So there is definitely a beautiful opportunity here to open that dialogue in some sort of way. Man, that's great. I've clocked it now. Because when I look at the Asian man, and also knowing you and what you love to do, which is curate beauty and style, my mind just says the Asian man, stylish Asian men, but really, yeah, there's a deeper conversation here as well, right? Yeah. That's sick, man.
What is this behavior?
Still to come, when do you know something has run its course? Do people need a cutoff point for a side project? Should we even be doing side projects just for yourself or for the community?
What is this behavior?
And also, you've got a new website, which looks absolutely banging. Did you design that yourself? When did that go up? And what's the intentions with that? Or is it just like another arm of the project?
Yeah, so that's kind of, and this is where the difference between this episode and, you know, if you go back and listen to the one 2 years ago, you'll see the kind of growth, or I guess the repositioning, and the importance of maybe looking at opportunities and reflecting on personal projects and constantly asking yourself questions as like, you know, is this doing what I want it to do? Can it do something else? And one, just like being aware of opportunities and not being overly attached to what a project can be. So still having like an important grounding why, and then being like, how can it potentially re-evolve and stuff? So the reason why I put a page up, so it was, I think I created a MailChimp, just like a mailing list, a subscriber list for those that wanted to start to not even pre-order the book, but just register their interest, right? So one, it was for me to gauge, like, is this book project going to have some impact? Are people interested in it? And it was just like, get on the mailing list. So I've got like, a subscriber list that I can kind of update people on the project. And in a way, kind of like once the project's done and want the book's published, like, you know, have an audience that actually want to be contacted. You know, all of that Seth Godin permission marketing and stuff. So that was that. And then I realized MailChimp can kind of do what like Wix and what is it, Squarespace do, right? So they can kind of allow you to just like build like a satellite holding page and stuff. But I didn't design it until I think like last month, or no, maybe about maybe about 3 months ago, three or 4 months ago, when I started to think about the project. And I think it was around the time we were still developing the 101, right? And I was having all these conversations with creative directors as well, and people in these spaces. And one thing was casting. So when I say casting, I'm talking about like casting for shoots, like photography shoots, fashion campaigns, that type of stuff. And I just noticed that there could be an opportunity to, I can't remember which brand it was, but someone contacted me and was like, oh, we need a little bit of help in terms of, we're looking for South Asian men, but not models. So, you know, I say this in, what do you call it? Respect. Air commas or whatever. Yeah, like right, normal right. normal
all
guys.
Due respect.
all due respect.
Pedestrians.
Pedestrians relating to people walking on the street there, bro. They're already being ableist there now, man.
Oh, shit. Yeah, sorry about that. Oh, shit, man. I need to get cancelled. Cancel me. No, but we learn in the moment. I hope. Yeah, I probably lost a couple followers.
Actually, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe someone that is pedestrian can still be someone that is
exactly. Oh
not
shit! Cancel
able.
Him as well. Yeah, cancel both the Christian brothers.
what was my
you
friend?
Said walking. Oh, you definitely get cancelled, bro. But you know, no. Yeah. But you know what? We're going back to because where I thought you would land is agency. Could it what, be an agency? Could it be a talent directory? Yeah. Could you help?
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what that's where I'm leading up to, because I think just kind of based on a lot of those questions, they're like, can you help us with like sourcing people and talent and stuff? And I think I just pinged like DM'd them some people that I thought could be like good fits. And then I was like, well, this page and project's been going on for ages, right? Like a couple of years. And like, I've always believed in the kind of balance of like art and commerce. So it's like, okay, cool. Like the drive has never really been to make money, and I'm doing this book project, you know, out of my just like spare time, and probably going to put my own cash into it to kind of like get published and stuff. But I shouldn't shy away from being able to like get some funds and some income off the project to maintain it. Because for me, realistically, like I've been helped by Ruben, like shout out to Ruben that's been jumping on it. But
yeah, it's all right, man, I'm here for you.
He's good. Like, yeah, for you, man. But yeah, realistically, to keep this going, like with all the other stuff going on, which I still really do want to do, it's like, how do we get some kind of cash flow into it? So I was like, yeah, there could be an opportunity to one, like, I guess just win-win situations, right? So like, one, it's like, if I've got brands contacting me to kind of like help with casting, and then I've got this like genuine connection with the community, like a global, amazing global South Asian community of like men that are really, really, really into this. I started just asking the audience, and everyone was like, yeah, look, I'd love to be like, we're not really featured in social campaigns and stuff. So you have this kind of audience that have like yearning to kind of be included, right? And feature in campaigns or like kind of get on projects. And I was like, why don't I just connect the dots? So it's kind of like right now the page sits as, I wouldn't even say an agency, but I would say a creative casting studio. So and that can evolve, but essentially it's brands that kind of have like social shoots and like, you know, more regular campaigns, like digital campaigns and stuff, that want to kind of get access to like South Asian men that have like a real connection with like style and fashion.
I love that.
Just come to us, and then we can kind of basically present a kind of casting option based on the shoots and present. Yeah. And then basically everyone get paid.
Yeah, that's a shout. On the website, under Creative Casting Studio, the copy is, we want to bring South Asian men into your world. to introduce their value to the world and build a global community of South Asian men with a genuine role for progressive, forward-thinking brands. The Asian Man works with people who not only understand fashion, but live and breathe it too, to help bring their voice to the industry. Yeah, I love that little framing, man. And that does open it up to a lot more potential, doesn't it? I was going to say as well, Aaron, I tell you what, yeah, no matter how much you might go through your ebbs and flows in regard to how successful, air quotations, successful this is, I think the moment there is a physical book on a coffee table in your house and other people's houses, that would provide enough of the justification, the fulfillment.
But that's the thing, man, honestly, like this, I'm so glad and happy that I managed to kind of push through and just like get that kind of momentum going on the shoots, because I think I told you this the other day, but like there was a moment where I'm like, yeah, I'm so 100% on track, so I'm super super lucky to be able to do work that I'm like super in love with. So as a filmmaker, as a director, it's like my ideal career. I get to work with amazing people. Like, I love fucking directing and producing and getting into post and like creating moving image work and stuff. And then, you know, all of the other projects that we do, the podcast, working in the Asian Man. But I think the sign of like, I asked myself, like, what would I be doing? So say, for example, if I won the lottery, had like unlimited funds, right? Didn't really have to worry about money. What would you do? That's like, I always kind of come back to use that as a reflection point and a question. And it was genuinely being like, oh, I'd probably be doing this book.
Because that's so
like,
sick, man.
You know, it, like, money isn't in, like a driver, or like I wouldn't need it. So it's like, that's really, if you ask that question, I think you really go down to the core of what provides meaning for you, right? And value and all of that type of stuff. And I was like, fuck, that's bang on. Like, yeah, that, I don't know. That was just an internal powerful moment. I'll be like, this is dope. This is sick. That I actually am still doing that. Like, I get the privilege of taking days off and doing these shoots.
Yeah.
You know, for myself and like for the community. And it's like, yeah.
Bro, that's so massive, man. Well done, man. Honestly, I love that for you. And why that is so important for me as well. I mean, when I put on the Dream Rehab workshops, the reason I put that together, and when people come through on it, my fulfillment,
do you get a similar fulfillment on that?
Yeah, I do, like, and it's just, I think for people to start the things that they've wanted to try, that's one fulfillment box ticked, right? And then the learning about themselves, their self-worth goes up, their self-confidence, their self-belief goes up internally, which plays out in so many other areas of their life. That's another fulfillment tick. But then the really interesting thing is when people take the pressure off of commercial success with their passion projects, when they actually internally give themselves permission and they free themselves of, oh, you know what, this needs to do well in this space measured against this system. Once you release yourself from that, I think you can actually enjoy the process more and probably do better work. Yeah. And so every time someone comes through Dream Rehab and they say, you know what, I was thinking about this thing. We've come into the workshop, we've met some people, and look, we've done it. We've done it.
Yeah.
Like, even going back to the episode on 101 and Jayshree done her first poetry performance. That's the stuff that just, man, that's the shit that brings me alive, man.
I guess I wanted to bring up the question, and this is why I thought it may be interesting to do a second episode on this, because one thing that I was not struggling with, but I kept on asking myself was like, yes, I say you take away that measurement of, I don't know, like vanity metrics or financial success, and you kind of start this project and you've kind of got flow and you're enjoying it. But is it like, do you feel people need a cutoff point in terms of like, do these side projects have an exit or an end? Like, how do you know when something has run its course? Or is that just about, are you still feeling fulfilled by something?
It's such a broad question, and it's so subjective to each person, where they are in their life when they're starting a project, and also their approach is going to evolve. So I don't have a one answer, but just reflecting on some of it.
What does it mean for me personally?
it's easier if when I'm starting something new and exploring it, if I have something to work towards. For example, when I was exploring music in the pandemic, right, which was a lot of fun, and I've said it's like the most liberating creative process I've ever been on. There was, I enjoyed the process, like lots of writing, lots of stuff, starting like, let's say 60 songs or whatever. But then when I said, you know what, I want, now I've enjoyed the exploration, now I feel like I want to aim for something. And then at that moment, I just changed and I said, I'm going to aim for, let's say, 10 songs, which allowed me to clean up the work and just put out a batch. And then there was fulfillment there. But some people just want to explore for the sake of exploring and they never want to create a batch or build work upwards. They just want to. It's just process for them.
Yeah, I get
you know, that. So I don't know. Yeah, so it's a varied answer for everyone at different times. But for where I am now with, let's say, Dream Rehab, I definitely want to evolve it. I've turned it into one thing, which is a curriculum, which I'm really proud of and I want to roll out. But now also I want to explore what a show could look like as well. Yeah. So I'm like you, I'm constantly evolving.
Do you start hating yourself when somebody's creative avenues project?
I don't know. Yes. So I used to, like, you know, but like I used to go left on some of the stuff, like even used to say like, what are you actually doing? And I couldn't tell you, Aaron.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you like what I was doing with remixes and whatnot. But I think I was just fighting for my creative freedom, and I think I was fighting for to maintain my inner child while the world was telling me to grow up. I think where I am now is I'm able to balance it both. And it's taken, like, I had to over index on one direction for a long time to understand it and then go the other way to understand it. And now I think I've got a bit of a better balance. And but I don't start projects now. I'm a lot slower and a lot more hesitant because of time and focus in it. I'm not in exploration phase. I'm in build phase now of my life.
Mm.
Go on, sorry.
One thing I was going to say that I admire in that you have a good balance of that creative outlet for you and then for others. I think I struggle, and again, this comes up in therapy for me, but it's like, and again, not necessarily a bad thing, but I'm just always half it there at the forefront, to be honest with myself, that a lot of my projects are always for community and others. Mm. And not for myself. And maybe the book was the first time that it was like, actually it started, it was being honest and being like, let me create something for myself.
Well, really, this is for the community as well. This isn't solely for Aaron. And even if you tried to
make it. I'm saying the book feels definitely like, even if I didn't publish the book to anyone else and it was just one copy,
like
for me, there was that first thing of like, I'm going to create this one thing that doesn't have to have all this kind of like community building, like building value for others kind of elements stuff baked into it. I'm kind of jealous of people that do that, you know. Sometimes I'm like, fuck man, they do this thing and it's just for themselves.
Yeah, and they actually are fine with it. And they celebrate it and they beam it out to the world saying, look at me and look what I've done. It's got nothing to help in anyone else but me. Look. I don't know, man. I just think it's a value. Maybe it's a privilege thing. Maybe there's a conversation about value systems. Maybe there's I think with you and I, there's a big conversation around our religion being brought up as Catholics and how guilt is gifted to us. You know,
I don't know if it's guilt though, but it's in being it being in service of others, right?
Where did we get that
doesn't
from,
have to be the priority thing, but there's definitely that's always been an important thing that has framed how we move through the world in a way.
I agree with you, and I've had conversations with some of my most loving, empathetic friends who really think about others regularly, and they have such a challenge trying to center themselves in anything.
Yeah.
And I think that itself is a bigger conversation, and I think that is a challenge that we might want to put some work into, because I just think it's okay to do that, especially if you're serving community and other people anyway. Why is that such a problem? I don't know. It could be a dope conversation. Right. We'll bring Mass in on it in the future. But All in all, bro, I would say great work on what you've done with the Asian Man so far.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you've kept it ticking away in the background because, yeah, it's valuable. And it's just sometimes some people might see that later on. And I love the website. It's looking sick. And that is theasianman.co.uk. And I'm looking forward to when the book drops. Yeah, maybe we can do a physical launch.
What do you mean maybe, bro? Come on, it's me. Oh, if Jesus, I want to do something, it's going to be a ham mashup. Jesus, it's going to be aggy. I haven't got like a specific idea around it, but I definitely, yeah, we're definitely going to do an in real life event launch, whether that's at a gallery where we do, you know, prints of it as well. I've got some, like, honestly, some amazing people lined up. And actually, it's such a privilege when we do the shoot. So shout outs to Prius and Hish, who have assisted me on the shoots. And every time we kind of wrap one up, they're like, you get an insight in, you know, we spend basically a day with each subject that we're shooting, and we get to often invited into their home and see how they move through the world, see what they do, their work. And yeah, honestly, I've made like ridiculous friendships, like real bonds with a lot of the guys that we've been shooting. But then even weirdly digitally as well, right? So like I've kind of like accidentally landed on this hack in that community is so rich and has such a similar taste and sensibilities that whenever I travel to a different city, I just go into Asian Man and be like, yo, who's from the community? Give me
the plugs. That's such a hack, man. That's too sick.
And I think I found like some of my best spots. Shout out to Hack Miller, who was giving me all the spots in Paris. And the thing is, I'm a seasoned Paris regular as well, right? Because my wife is from Paris and we used to go there all the time. So some of those like, yeah, happy accidents of doing projects and really connecting with the community has been dope, man.
Yeah, that is so good. And obviously you've listed this down as a potential idea and you've got it on ice, but this is clearly also a docu-series, a traveling show, them things. What? Yeah, I mean,
I don't know, man. I think things are so, well, I don't know. I've got my own trauma with this fucking unscripted TV space recently.
Oh, you want to talk about trauma with the TV industry? I've been front facing for the last 20 years and I'm on a podcast where you can't see my face, right? Like, this is what I've got. I totally get it, but still I think there's at least a conception of an idea there that could bang.
Yeah, we'll see. That's book first, man. Then
listen, man, good luck with it, man. And you know, if you need a co-host or a facilitator to interview you here, I'm freelance, I'm looking for work.
Well, I think
and I'm a South Asian man.
I think, yeah, Rubes. Cause,
yeah, got you.
What was it?
You've booked someone else, the other Ruben, isn't it?
Nah, sorry. You know.
Sorry,
I'm racking my brain for the shittest brand. But I'm like, I think a shit brand contacted me for a photo shoot, so I'll definitely... insert terrible brand here and post forward Ruben for casting.
Sick.
So yeah, I'll get you some work, man.
Oh, thanks, bro. Well, good luck with it, man. We're here as per usual to support, and we're looking forward to potentially doing another episode in the future on how it's evolved
when we do the launch. Definitely,
mate. Yeah, man. All right, bro. Peace out.
Peace.
What is this behavior?
So that's the end of another episode of What Is This Behavior podcast. Thank you for sticking with us. We hope that you found that super useful, valuable, and perhaps even entertaining along the way. As always, please try to rate us on Apple Podcasts. It really does help move us up the podcast charts and just gets our message and our mission out to a wider community. If you want to contact us, you can hit us up on the gram, which is What Is This Behavior Podcast, or on Twitter and TikTok, which is WITB_podcast. If you want to go and listen back to all the old podcast episodes, you can hit us up on the website, which is www.whatisthisbehaviorpodcast.com, and go to the contact page, and I think you will find our email address there. So that's it. Thank you again for sticking with us for another episode, and we will catch you again in 2 weeks. Peace.
What is this behavior?
Do you want it? You're dying for it.